Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is a gospel lesson you heard read previously. And the text opens, "For God so loved the world." And the Iranians pledge death to Americans, and an airliner taking off from Iran plunges into the sea with everyone on board. For God so loved the world. And a bomb goes off in another airliner, and people plunge to their death. For God so loved the world. And Americans pledge to overthrow the Panamanian government, and the Panamanians are sure they're going to have their day in court. For God so loved the world. And through it all, the Jews watch three men dying on the cross. And one man says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." For God so loved the world. It's a verse and words that plaster very easily into our minds, but the meaning is lost in the simplicity of the words, "For God so loved the world." You're looking forward to what you're going to do when you get out into the ministry. You're going to be the spiritual leaders of some congregation. How well are you going to live the words that you teach? One of the anachronisms in our society right now is the fact that the mother's love is enhanced and looked up to so much in this world. Mother's Day we passed by, and yet through abortion, the mother murders the child. For God so loved the world. A text we all should spend a lot of time thinking about. Because the hardest job you are going to have is going to be not teaching the right thing. You will learn that here. It's living the right thing. Sanctification. I should be able to use that word in this group. Congregations have a hard time with it. For God so loved the world, not that he knew the truth and did nothing about it, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, trusted in him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. John puts it beautifully this way. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. One of the things I try to tell my members in the congregation, and I'll tell you, look into your heart. There is some individual that you know that you really don't believe is worthy of salvation. It's there. There is somebody in this world you hate, in terms of Scripture. It's a fact. You don't love all the time, nor do I. But God's love isn't conditional. God's love isn't based on any condition in us. Because he loves the world. And he gave his Son to die for that world, so that we would not perish but have everlasting life. He who believes in him is not condemned. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. There's a world of difference between knowledge and faith, between knowledge and believing. That's the big difference in the Pharisee. The Pharisee knows the truth, but his life doesn't show the truth. He knows he should forgive 70 times 7 times, but he can't find it in his heart to forgive 70 times 7 times, so he blames the other guy for his inability to forgive. And he forgets Paul's message when he said, though you have the faith that you could remove mountains and have not love, you are nothing. These three exist, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. For God so loved the world. And he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I would really be very much surprised if I could see any one of you all 3 years from now, and you could tell me, in all truth, that more of the church is in the world than the world is in the church. The thing you're going to find out when you get out there is your idea of the church is not the world's idea of the church. And it obviously is not the church's idea of the church. More of the world lives in there than the church. Why? Because you and I are the church. For God so loved us that he gave his Son so that we might through him live. And where the rubber hits the road is not in our ability to recite the catechism, or to be able to tell each other about grace, or to be able to talk about faith, but it comes in our ability to love one another. It comes in our ability to show the love of God in our hearts. When I worked in a hospital a number of years ago, a doctor came up and told me when my daughter was born. He says, I've got good news and I've got bad news for you, Al, but first I need to know, what was it? And I said, well, it was a girl. And he says, well, I've got good news for you and bad news, Al. Sorry about that. The good news is she'll be the apple of your eye. Daddy's little girl. The bad news, she'll take every one of your bad habits and multiply them by 10. Why? Because she watches what you do. She doesn't listen to what you say. She'll know. You'll always tell people what they want to hear, but the truth will come out in your life. This is what he's trying to tell us. The Lord didn't go throughout the countryside telling everybody about the gospel. He proved it to them by laying down his life on the cross for them. He didn't hang on the cross and talk about the gospel and curse the Jews that are around them. But he came out with the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in desperation, a thief who is dying on the cross looks at his own life in the light of the dying Son of God and says, Lord, when you get to where you are, just think of me because I am not going to be there. And for God so loved the world that his words are very clearly, verily I say to you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the truth is, when we get out in the world, we'll more than likely love the darkness more than we love the light. We'll know the truth, but it's so hard to believe, to live. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest the deeds should be exposed. But there'll be a difference. You see, we'll all stumble and fall. The Pharisee doesn't know that, but it's the cry of the public that brings it home. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God, so that though your sins be as scarlet, they are as white as snow. What confidence do we have in that? Sinners we are. We need the Lord too, for God so loved the world. But we are called to love the world, so that the world may know that we are indeed sinners. They themselves are sinners. But God did so love the world. And in their problems that they have to endure in this life, God demonstrated his love toward them, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And the final great consolation in all of this is, who then will bring charges against God's elect? It is God who justifies, for God so loved the world. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, for he is the one who said, Father, lay not this charge upon them. And he's also risen, and we can rest in this, that there is neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And though our sins be as scarlet, because God so loved the world, he is a resurrection and a life. And though we will meet death, yet we know in him we'll live forever. For God so loved the world. Amen. And now may this peace, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.